episode 6 of the Conservatarian Podcast. Today I'm joined by a special guest, our first guest. Introduce yourself.
My name is Gunner, and pretty excited to be here.
All right, so I figured it's about time we got a different perspective in. And we decided we'd talk about the Second Amendment. It's a very controversial subject, obviously. A lot of heat around the issue. Very strong opinions on both sides regarding it. So we're here to sort of bring our more conservative-leaning beliefs to you and explain sort of where conservatives and libertarians are coming from when we talk about the Second Amendment and why it's important to people like us. So I guess the best way to start is obviously the number one thing people go after with the Second Amendment, saying, well, I believe in the Second Amendment, but people shouldn't have AR-15s or assault rifles, assault-style weapons. That's what they'll say. They said we shouldn't have AR-15s.
Weapons of war.
Yeah, weapons of war. That's what they'll call them. So I think that's pretty faulty logic for one to call it a weapon of war, right? Like, have you sent our troops out there with these civilian-grade AR-15s, especially the ones most people buy, like the $600, $700 ones? I don't think they'd last very long.
Yeah, definitely not.
And it doesn't add up too when you look back and people can buy old weapons of war, right, from like World War II, bolt actions, the semi-autos of that time, and that's okay, but AR-15s and AR-styled rifles are not. But obviously the number one issue with this is when people say that's people are getting killed far too much by AR-15s. And they say, you know, the weapon capacity, the capacity, yeah, and the magazines is way too high, and it's too dangerous for civilians to have them because of how many people get killed by them.
I mean, I have many Democrat friends, and nothing against them or anything, but these people running for office have no idea what they're talking about because they don't even know about guns. I mean, Biden has said he wanted to ban 30 clips guns when
30
when we all know that 30 clips can't fit in a gun. We only know one can. And they like to put the blame on AR-15s, but they don't really know like that AR-15s rarely cause any gun deaths. Sure, there was the Vegas shooting, and then there was the nightclub shooting, right? Was that done by an AR-15, the nightclub in Orlando? Or what?
I want to say yes.
Those are the two that got big in the news, and that's like the only two since 2007, I believe. And if you look at the percentage, for example, I have a website here, fee.org, and it has something here, as it has a fact saying that with an average of 13,657 homicides per year during the 2007 to 2017 time frame, about 1/10 of 1%, a 1/10 of 1% of homicides were produced by mass shootings involving AR-15s. And to give you a bit easier, you know, to lay this out for you, according to New York Times analysis, since 2007, at least 173 people have been killed in mass shootings in the United States involving AR-15s. That's 173 over a span of a decade, with an average of 17 a year. To put this in perspective, consider that at this rate, it would take almost 100 years of mass shootings with AR-15s to produce the same number of homicide victims that knives and sharp objects produce in 1 year.
And there you have it. I mean, I think people just like to go after AR-15s because it's the weapon you see out there the most. When people have these rallies and protests, right, and you got pro-gun people out there, they always usually have AR-15s. That's like the most preferred self-defense rifle just because of how much you can customize it and the kind of attachments you can put on it to make it easier for you to use. You
know, very well built.
Yeah, you put your flashlights on it and your cool sights, night vision stuff. I mean, you can deck them out pretty cool, right? But that's what people usually see in the news as, you know, that's the gun that's killing America. But, you know, as you just said, it in terms of things, it's killed a pretty small percentage of people. Not to say that those deaths are invalidated. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that you have to look at it from sort of a logical perspective and say, okay, these weapons aren't responsible for a huge number of gun deaths. So why are they the ones being, so sought after by the gun control crowd?
And I feel like a lot of it has to do with the fact that, since, like I said, these politicians don't know what they're talking about when it comes to guns, and I think they like to pinpoint the AR-15s because they look scary. They carry a lot of rounds. They look cool. They're black and, you know, all war-looking. You know what I mean? Like, they look at them and they're like, oh, scary looking, you know, people. Yep. These are people. These are not all Democrats. These are people that don't know guns. Yep. These are just people that know nothing about guns, and they see these guns, and all they think about is Call of Duty. They think of Call of Duty. It's reality, man. They think of Call of Duty, and they're like, people shouldn't have those automatic guns. But in reality, automatic guns are banned. Mm-hmm. It's illegal to have a fully automatic gun, or three-gun burst, any of these things you see in Call of Duty. It's illegal. They're semi-automatic. Which basically means they shoot one bullet at a time. Your trigger finger controls the fire rate. And if you know anything about trigger finger, it's not nearly as fast as an automatic is.
No, and if you do try to shoot it fast, you're not going to stay on target, and you're probably going to hurt your shoulder.
Exactly.
In the process. And I think you're pretty spot on there. I think it's just the easiest weapon to go after for a lot of these gun control people, because it's easy to scare people into believing that AR-15s and AR-styled rifles are the number one killers of people when it comes to guns. But in reality, it's actually handguns, which is interesting because you're supposed to be 21 to own one, but you can be 18 and own a rifle. So I just think it's interesting that handguns end up causing more deaths, and yet no one talks about them a whole lot.
For the case of school shootings, that ARs would be most effective is just false. I hate to sound morbid, but when it comes down to school shootings, a shotgun is the most deadly. Because what school shootings do, it doesn't make sense to me, honestly, but during a lockdown, you go into a closet, you pack kids all in a corner in a closet. If you open that door with a shotgun and you shoot in their direction, you're not only going to be killing one kid. You're going to be, that shotgun spread is going to be hitting a lot of kids. And an AR-15 is going to be hitting one of them, most likely, unless there's someone behind him. But that's besides the point, because a shotgun is much more deadly in a school shooting, especially if you have reloadable, because shotguns are quite easy to reload, too. Because all you have to do is insert one real fast underneath the chamber, and it's already loaded in.
Very quickly load another shell in. And I think that's the biggest thing, too, is the school shootings, the ones that have been committed using AR-styled rifles. That's what gets a lot of people going, especially, yeah, I remember when I was in high school, it was after the Parkland shooting, the student council put on some kind of event, and I knew what it was going to be. It was going to be talking about the Parkland shooting, and it was going to have pretty obviously some anti-gun stuff going on, but I decided to go anyway, sort of out of curiosity, and I guess to sort of pay respect to the kids that unfortunately died during that shooting. And I remember after that, I won't say the person's name, but it was someone very close to me, and they were pretty shaken up and upset. And this is where it sort of comes into play growing up different. You know, me growing up and sort of having a respect for firearms, being so engrossed in sort of military and being interested in that, and someone who didn't. So this person was really upset after it, and to be honest, I was pretty idiotic, and I asked, you know, what's wrong? And they're like, the kids, didn't you see? And it was at that point I sort of realized that it's the fear. It's all fear factor, right? It's causing kids to be scared that someone's going to come into their school with these high capacity weapons and weapons of war, right? That's the lingo they use. They being gun control advocates. The evil people are going to come into the school with these kinds of weapons and kill them. And if not kill them specifically, kill or hurt one of their friends. And, you know, that was a real fear a lot of people had after Parkland and a lot of these incidents. I even remember back in middle school, they were talking about, I forget which shooting it was. I think it was Sandy Hook. They were talking about that. And that's when the big talk was having more police officers at the schools. I know the big argument now is allowing teachers with concealed weapons permits to carry in school, which is something we can touch up on. But I know it seems like it's been really pushed that we need to be scared of these kinds of things happening. And I don't think scared is the right word. I'm sure you should be cautious and aware, as you always should be when you go out in public. There's always that risk, right? But
and we're not taking away from, you know, the kids that were killed by ARs and AR-style weapons in school shootings. It really comes down to it that mental health is the issue. And if we ban guns or ARs or anything, there's going to be a black market for them, and the bad people are still going to get their hands on the guns. Mental health is a real problem, and I have a fact here from HarvardPolitics.com. Out of the 35,000 firearm deaths that occurred from January to November in 2019, 21,912, or 61.5% of them, were suicides. So that just shows you that mental health is the issue. Because if 61.5 of those are suicides, then that's a bigger issue than we even thought. Because over half of the gun deaths are from suicides. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't show you that mental health is a problem, then I don't know what will, honestly.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. I think it's gun violence will always be an issue as long as you have evil people in the world, but it seems to me we really have a suicide issue, not gun violence, because it's people going out and either they already have a firearm and they're in a dark place, or they go out and buy one just with the sole purpose of taking their own lives. And I think, you know, the classic argument you'll hear from Republicans, maybe one that gets made fun of, is it's a mental health issue, but it is. And it's not saying that we're trying to give everyone an excuse for what they do. We're saying if the proper things were in place to help people before they reached, you know, the dark spot in their mind where they think that going out and shooting other people that didn't do anything to them is okay, you know, if we had parameters in place to help those people, those things wouldn't happen. So I do think that we need to look more into, you know, counseling in schools, not making it so like something that you'd make fun of, right? Normalizing it, you know, because, you know, especially nowadays, there's a lot of pressure on kids with how much the economy's changed and how much more expensive things are.
Culture.
And the culture. It's...
Well, if you look at Sandy Hook, right, that was done by students. Wasn't Sandy Hook done by students?
No, like that two? Was, no, Parkland was the one.
Parkland was by two students?
The student came in. No, that was the one. I think the one you're referring to is Columbine. They had the two Columbine, students.
Columbine, yeah, yes.
That's where the guys...
It was Columbine, I'm sorry. So, basically, so people say that it's not mental health, right? It's not mental health is an issue. Do you think those two kids were mentally okay to go in and shoot their school up? Do you think they had no mental issues? They just decided one day they wanted to? Or do you think it was something messed up in their head? Something mental health issue, anger, suppressed anger, depression, something inside of them caused them to do that. It was not the guns that caused them to do that. It was their mental health was so messed up that led them to kill those people. And you can't tell me that it's not the problem. And those guys, I'm pretty sure those were homemade guns, too. Those were not bought. Those were, like, they, like, worked on them at their house or something. They bought parts, I believe, and they made them themselves. I believe that was the Columbine one, because they were some weird submachine gun kind of gun that they used. They're homemade with silencers. They have these built-in silencers. And I'm pretty sure the Columbine one is the one I'm thinking of with that. But it's not banning guns or reducing, making it harder to get guns would not prevent things like this. Because if they want to commit those kinds of crimes, they're going to figure out a way to. And they're going to figure out a way to get guns, whether or not it's through a black market, whether or not it's knowing someone that owns one and stealing it from their house somehow. You never know. There's certain ways. These people are crazy. These people with these mental health problems are seriously need help. And they're going to find some way to get their hands on something if they want to do something. It's not you're not going to stop them if they want to do something. The only way to stop them is to help them in rehab or to help them get better mentally. You're not going to stop them by banning guns.
Yep. And unfortunately, if you don't get them help in time, then the only way to stop them is to counter the threat and neutralize it.
Teachers.
Yeah. So that's when the question of having more police at the school or hiring private security or having teachers armed comes into play. I'm still a little torn on the teacher issue myself. I can see how it would be good for maybe teachers that were in the service or just grew up with firearm knowledge and know how to, you know, make sure the weapon's on them at all times and keep it safe. Then on the other hand, I feel like there would be a lot of teachers scared and saying, okay, I'm going to get a gun, and maybe not be so well versed in it. And I would rather we didn't put the teacher in a situation where they didn't feel comfortable with a firearm but felt like they had to have one to keep themselves and their students safe. So I think, you know, I don't want a bunch of armed security walking around the school either, because that's a very bad look. Especially lots of these schools now have fences and gates around them. I mean, practically it looks like a prison already.
Yeah.
All in the name of safety.
I think ultimately hiring more resource officers would be a better thing, but there's pros and cons of it. The pros are resource officers know what they're doing, they're not scared to have guns on them, and they're trained. But the cons of them is funding, because you have to hire them, and you have to make them, like you said, we don't want a bunch of obvious people walking around, you know, resource officers walking around in the hallways, because that just wouldn't look good. You'd have to find some way for them to incorporate them into the school, but not make it seem that as though you're in a jail or something. You need to make it seem like school still, but you need to. But I think that it'd be better to have resource officers. But then again, there's cons. So like the people like walking around and the funding for it, the extra funding you'd have to provide. So there's definitely issues with the teachers owning them, and there's definitely issues with the resource officers. But I think there should be a middle ground, and I think school districts, certain like by school districts, should decide what they want to do.
Yeah, that definitely needs to be a conversation to be had, not just locally, but I think probably congressionally too.
Okay.
Not that they should enact a law, but I think they should do some research in their committees and sort of see what works best. And maybe if you have enough states try it out and it proves to be, you know, proves that it works, whatever thing they agree on, then maybe that's when you would say, okay, let's try it federally. I'm not sure, though, that would be entirely feasible and even constitutional to have that more control over school districts, so it probably would be better state and local level, like you were saying. But, you know, something struck me earlier, though, when we're trying to get, you know, it cleared up what shooting we're talking about in these schools. I think that's really telling that there's been so many incidents where people have done bad things. It's kind of hard to be like, which one was that again, where that happened? You know, it's... And, you know, the scarier thing is, even if you took away the guns, if you took away the ARs, and even if you somehow took all the other, you know, firearms, you'd still have to hear about incidents like that, mass casualty events, because you've seen it in places like Europe. Evil people will use whatever tools they can. They'll grab a knife next, and they'll use a van and run over crowds of people, and it just continues to escalate, because it's not just, like, obviously there's people that get broken to the point where they feel like that's what they have to do, and then there's also the people that are just not good. They just are evil is the only way I can describe it. They just want to cause harm to other people for no reason sometimes. Sometimes it's political. Sometimes it's, you know, you got terrorism. But it's, I think it's sort of cheap to try to, like, simplify it to just say, oh, well, it's just the guns, so get rid of the guns. I don't think that banning ARs would do much except make it easier to get rid of other firearms down the road, which I think would be the ultimate goal of a lot of these gun control advocates. Because you have a lot of them say, well, we just want the ARs and, you know, the AKs too. We'll throw those in there, right? But it will, it's always a slippery slope once you give them an inch on anything.
They're going to lead into pistols and eventually shotguns, because they're going to realize shotguns are the most deadly out of all of them when it comes down to school stuff. Especially
what you said about schools, that got me thinking. That's why I brought up the story, because I'm not going to lie, I sat there in the classroom lots of times and just thought, what if somebody just came down the hall and started blasting? Like, would I try to run, get out? Would I be an idiot and try to fight the guy? Like, would I just huddle in the classroom and be too scared to do anything else? You know, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure if you have a shotgun, you can take down those doors in there. I know they're heavy, thick doors, but I'm pretty sure you could take down a door and get in. Now, that's assuming they have a shotgun, and that's like worst case scenario. That's just fear talking.
And the pistol thing that we brought up, you know, they'll eventually lead into pistols and shotguns or whatever. That can kind of lead us into like our last kind of talking point about, you know, taking them, leading into everything. Like, they're going to pinpoint it on guns, you know. The Second Amendment states that we should have the right to bear arms to defend ourselves and our families and, you know, whoever's around us that we care about, or just a general public. And I found some facts from investors.com from a criminologist and researcher, Gary Kleck. He says that averagely around 300,000 violent crimes involve firearms a year. And he also estimates that about 1.2 million Americans per year use guns for defensive purposes. So if you think about this, 300,000 violent crimes are caused by firearms, but 1.2 million violent people have used them, you know, each year for defensive purposes. So what do they use more for, violent crimes or defense? The answer is defense by about four times. So that should give you something. So if you're thinking, oh, people don't use them for self-defense that much, well, the facts are right there. They do. Four times more than people use them for violent crimes.
I don't know if that statistic includes just times the firearm has been, you know, fired, but you can... You can also use it as just a pure deterrence if somebody is threatening, just in general, persuade them not to go through with whatever they're thinking they're going
to
do.
You don't even have to have it loaded. You could just pull it out and point it at them, and they would back off, I'm sure. You're
pointing at them half the time, just aiming at sort of the general direction, mm-hmm. as long as, obviously, there's no one behind them and you're not aiming it like a retard, right? But, you know, even your stereotypical thing I hear is, you know, somebody's in your house and you have a shotgun, it's a pump action, you can just pump it half the time and somebody's going to want to just run out of there, because nobody wants to take a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge or even a 410.
They're smart. They're not going to they're gonna leave. Whatever.
Now, the problem is if that person is armed, and that's why you would want a loaded firearm in your premises, because there are some people that are... for whatever reason, willing to go toe-to-toe over your property. I'm pretty sure your property matters to you a little bit more than it does to them. But, you know, it's not just to the self-defense thing. Obviously, there's going to be people you got to protect yourself from, people that want to, like I said, steal your stuff, cause harm to you, cause harm to your family and the people you love. But it's also... obviously, here comes the, oh, this is what Republicans always say, or libertarians, conservatives, you know, what have you. The Second Amendment is to protect the people from the government. And here's my line of thought with that, right? So it's, people say that the times have changed since the Constitution was written, and that we need to modernize it and realize people shouldn't own certain weapons. my problem with that is the Second Amendment was pretty expressly written because of the first battle of the Revolutionary War at Lexington and Concord. The British were attempting to seize the colonials' weapons caches, and they had none of that. As you know by living in the United States, if that's where you live while listening to this. And that kicked it off. So from the start, literally the war kicked off by people trying to take our guns. And two, the Boston Massacre happened, where British soldiers opened fire on people protesting in the streets, right? And the Founding Fathers looked at that and said, we don't want that to happen to our people under our government, and we don't want our government trying to seize their firearms. So that's why they expressly wrote the Second Amendment, say, shall not be infringed. And people say, okay, well, if the British had, you know, AR-style rifles or fully automatic rifles, the Founding Fathers would not want the civilians to use that. Well, the problem is, remember the Boston Massacre, literally the military opening fire on civilians. Let's say the revolution happened in modern times, and the military with their tanks and their 50 caliber fully automatic machine guns and, you know, their full auto rifles started firing on civilians in the streets, and then we wrote the Constitution, I think the founders would be pretty, you know, dead set in saying, look, we don't want our people to be massacred by the military. That's why we want them to have the same, you know, the ability to have the same sorts of firearms as the military to keep them on par. Because it also, too, is this. If should every other right in the Bill of Rights sort of be, you know, erased, not even from the pages of the Constitution, but just erased through precedent and extraneous laws that just go against the Constitution. The only thing you have left is the Second Amendment. And that is like the beyond Plan B. That is like, if it gets to the point where that has to be used against a government that has betrayed its people, I think it's gone pretty far. And I don't think we'll reach that point here, at least not in the foreseeable future, not in my lifetime, certainly, unless it gets really bad. But that was the express intent that the Second Amendment was wrote for, to protect the citizenry from a tyrannical government and to make sure the government could not just massacre their people.
And you may ask, how is this all this relevant to the election, and why who do we think will take care of this mostly? And I'm reading this straight from Biden and Harris's website. Okay, he has said they're going to ban the manufacture and sale of all assault weapons and high capacity magazines. And we went over assault weapons, so you know our opinion on that. He's also going to buy back. It says straight on his website. They don't like to talk about this because they know they're going to get hate from this. Buy back the assault rifles and magazines already in our communities. And here's a big one, too. He's going to end the online sale of firearms, ammunition, and accessories. So that includes holsters, safes, ammunition, every gun. So basically all of those gun businesses, online websites, will be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
People will lose their jobs. Businesses will go to the ground. And, like, come on now. And the last thing I want to point out is there's a law on this website that straight up says they're going to ban any. So if you have a weapon in your house that is not in a safe, if you have a kid around, a kid even in the house, it says, you will be charged and arrested for having a gun in your house that is hidden and locked away in a case or something. If it's not in a locked safe, you can go to jail.
Yep.
If you have a kid in the house. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, how are you supposed to use a firearm to protect your house and the people in it if it's locked away in a safe, right? Most people I know, they'll have in their main bedroom, they'll keep it off limits from children. But they'll have the firearm either in their bedside drawer or literally on their bedside table in the holster, safety on. But usually in the drawer because it's just, you know, so it's not in sight. So if a kid does wander in, they're not going to be like, oh, what's this? And that's, you know, we don't want that. That's
exactly.
Yeah, that'd be pretty bad.
So basically, Biden, I just read all the stuff off their website. Biden is highly infringing our Second Amendment rights, whether or not you care about the Second Amendment rights or not. He is still wrong because he's infringing the Constitution. And frankly, he's not going to tread on us. And we're not going to let him. And Trump has stood up for Second Amendment rights. And that is why I personally will be voting for Trump. And that is my number one reason I'm voting for Trump, is because Second Amendment rights, there's many reasons I'm voting for Trump, but our Second Amendment rights are under attack by Joe Biden, and I just read you proof off of his website that he is coming after our guns. And you can say all you want about Joe Biden, but that is my number one reason I am not voting for him.
And there you have it. As far as that goes, I'm basically in the same boat, but I do want you to pay attention to one thing where it says online sales of firearms. It doesn't mean you can have them shipped to your house, by the way. You can't Amazon Prime yourself a new Glock 40, unfortunately.
That'd be pretty cool.
What you do is you buy it online and it gets shipped to whatever federal firearms dealer is in the area, whatever one you're buying it from. It gets sent to the store itself. And then you still have to go in and do the background check, and then you pick it up there. Yeah, so you can't just buy it and get it online. Although I would be curious as to how they would manage that. I'm sure there would be a way for you to get the background check done online.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, I think what they could do is you go in store and buy it, and then they order it, and then it can be shipped to your house.
Yeah.
Which actually might be a thing. I might be a complete idiot here, but ultimately, just the main thing you need to understand is this. The Second Amendment is the amendment that really holds all the other rights in the Bill of Rights together. That's the security for every other amendment. If you take that away, you will watch everything else be stripped away. And this doesn't mean you have to be a huge pro-gun advocate. Doesn't mean you have to go out and buy a firearm and like them. You don't have to like firearms to understand their importance in the country and why we, you know, support the citizenry being able to have it. It's just you need to understand, you know, why it's important. And hopefully, with us talking through this, you've at least gained an understanding of where we're coming from. We may not have changed your mind. That's fine. Your vote will be heard on November 3rd or early voting, and you can make your voice heard with that. So, I guess that's about all I really got for this topic. I mean, there's not much else that comes to mind right now about the Second Amendment.
Pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, so with that being said, I guess this is the end of episode 6. And catch you guys in the next episode. So, yeah. Peace.
Peace out.